a wee bit of musical chairs there. We got sorted. Jonathan Doherty is Director of Efficient Renewables and Ecoforest Ireland and is with us in studio. Good morning to you.
How are you doing, Greg? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing fantastic. Right, a big day this Thursday. What's happening?
So we're having our official opening day down in Newton Cunningham. This is where our offices are and our showrooms there. So you can see all live products. What we do is we have the air-to-water heat pumps, ground source heat pumps, and solar PV systems there too. So you can, they're all working products.
I think this is really important because I obviously talk about this stuff quite a bit, but I actually don't know what I'm talking about, if the truth be told. I have a basic idea of how they function, but I've not really seen them working in situ. So you're saying this is an opportunity for people to, if they're maybe renovating a new build, they're going for the derelict property renovation grant or whatever it might be, they're able to go and actually see these
products
functioning.
So there's one, seeing them functioning, get an understanding of them. But the other thing is seeing the size of them, the room, the space they need. And that's the most common things people need to see, is seeing how much area they need in the room, in the house, to how much space it takes up into the building.
And they can save an awful lot of money. But would you agree too that when you're looking at this, particularly with an existing build or indeed a new build, that you also have to look at insulation as well, because you know the more efficient your house is in that regard, the more effective these products can often be in terms of heating your home?
Oh yeah, insulation is a big key, and that insulation and windows, you know, it's anything, if you're putting heat into it, you want it to stay there. So like any heating system is going to cost a lot of money if all the heating's escaping. So it all comes part and parcel.
Right. So give us a brief idea of how a heat pump works.
So a heat pump works is it's using electricity, okay? But every unit of electricity it uses, it gives you four times more heat output for that. Whereas every unit of oil or a litre of oil, you're only getting 90% of the heat out of that, you know? So that's generally what the heat pump works. And you have geothermal and air to water. So the air to water uses the air temperature to collect its energy, and the geothermal uses the ground, whether it be a flat loop collector or a borehole where you drill down into the ground. Then.
And are they choices for every home, or in speaking to experts, would they recommend a particular version of the heat pump for a particular setup?
Geothermal is the best because you've got a constant even temperature in the ground, but retrofitting geothermal is a bit more difficult, and that's why the air-to-water is a solution there. On new builds, most of them do choose geothermal because it's a lot easier to do it from scratch. So it's kind of down to the situation. It has to be assessed then.
Okay. ProAir ventilation system, what's that?
So that's your heat recovery ventilation. So again, it's kind of more for new builds, as the houses are more airtight and sealed.
Well, it's kind of important at the moment because a lot of people, what we're seeing, and it's a symptom of the defective concrete block crisis we have here as well, a lot of people are either building now or will be rebuilding. You know, it could be first-time builders, don't get me wrong. But do you know what I mean? I think there's a lot of people that this information is going to be relevant to, because a lot of people are at the planning stage and looking forward ahead. So now's the time to start gathering up that info, isn't it? So ProAir ventilation system, how does that work again,
so,
briefly?
Ventilation, so if you have a sealed box, it gets stuffy and hard to breathe and kind of such. So instead of all your hard work of heating in the building and opening up the windows and letting fresh air, cooling it down again, what the heat recovery ventilation does, it brings in fresh air and recovers the heat as it going out there. So it's kind of heating in the air with the stale air, but giving you fresh air in the building without losing any heat of the building.
Right. So if it feels a bit warm, you're not opening the window.
Exactly.
Which is kind of defeating
the purpose. Yeah.
But you know what? People do that too. Now, I mean, you know, obviously there's always a cost to the consumer, but I've been told, and I don't know, but I've been told that the SEAA grants do go a long way to doing a lot of this work, and there'll be experts on hand to give that information as well on Thursday.
Yeah. So we're having talks on the day. We have an SEAA there doing talks on it, and we're doing talks ourselves with the solar heat pumps. And we also have Steve Robb there from the Farmers Journal as well to do talking about the grants for farmers now with the PV solar as well. So it's good to get information for them because there's good paying grants on the farmers as well.
Yeah, and as well as that too, you know, I focus a little bit on residential properties and the heating options for them. But I mean, there's also the way we're going is there's going to be an expectation for all commercial properties, I think, in time to be carbon neutral.
Yes.
So you either avail of grants or whatever systems are there now, or you play catch up in a couple of years. But I think that's the direction of travel. That's where we're going.
Yes.
So there's conversations too for those in the commercial sector.
Yeah. So like you've seen it being pushing or about the domestic, all the grants available. Now it is starting to come into the commercial side of it. And we do have James Raleigh there giving a talk on what grants are available for commercial buildings. And there is good offering grants there for them.
Yeah. Now, solar panels have been around forever, but I presume there's been great advances in their efficiency and how much power they can actually produce.
Yeah, so PV solar's the kind of the buzz one now at the moment, which is generating electricity for your building. And they can also generate, when you're generating excess electricity, it can turn on your immersion heater to heat your hot water and give you hot water all through the summer then. But as the panel outputs have risen, so when they started, they were only like 200 watts, and now they're up to like 450 watts.
Yeah, you know? And you don't need direct constant sunlight for them to be effective.
No, it's
which
daylight.
Is a bit of a they've been developed to the point now whereby they can draw that power from
yeah,
natural
so
light.
It's building a system big enough to generate power for your building, you know, and that's what we do is we do a site survey and seeing what the needs are for that building and design a system to suit that.
All right, okay. So it runs throughout Thursday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's at the Efficient Renewables business premises. It's Unit 2 Main Street, Newtown, Cunningham. So I think it could be for someone planning or wanting to explore some of this stuff to get the facts themselves.
Oh, why?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, it's to give a good insight.
It's one of those areas where you can get a lot of people saying it's a load of crap and a lot of people saying it's the best thing sliced bread.
Yes.
And, you know, it's nice to get along and actually see for yourself.
Just go and see it.
Because people will be motivated, you see, in where they're coming from.
And we'll be giving advice and talking. There'll be people there to sit down and chat to if you have your plans or building the projects. Mm-hmm. Would give you advice and what's the best solution
and
which way to go.
Talk about the efficiency of heat pumps, the longevity of them, all that kind of stuff, which will be useful. We're broadcasting live there as well from 12 noon to 2:30 p.m. So that's also an excuse to land down there. John Breslin's broadcasting live from the showroom, and a good competition running on the day as well.
Yeah, so we have a competition for existing and new customers, which will be giving them away a 10-panel solar system. To enter it, as existing customers can come and register for it, and anyone ordering systems are automatically added in then for the draw then.
And the inverter, is that what transfers it to AC, or what's an inverter?
Yeah, so your panels generate DC current, and in the buildings your socket is AC, so the inverter converts it from DC to AC.
All right, okay. And some goodies too, tea, coffee, and light bites.
Light
sounds non-committal, that, to me.
Well, look, we'll be giving prizes like out on the day.
Yeah, but I'm on about the light bites here. Is it going to be Sunday biscuits or are we talking maybe a sandwich?
I would need to check.
I know, that's what I'm saying. They're covering their ass here. But anyway, listen, either way, it's going to be nice, of course. Tea, coffee, light bites served throughout the day. And you really want to sort of, I think, to get the message out there that this is an open day for everyone and there's going to be experts on hand. It's going to be nice and casual to have a chat and see what options are best for you. And also too, I think, which is useful, to see how you might be able to avail to the maximum of the SEAI grant. And I also know that credit unions are quite active in this space as well in terms of assisting people with any shortfall that might be there. And credit union on site as well, yeah?
Yeah, so we're going to have other stands there kind of which are related to all this. So we'll have the credit union there. We're going to have Lynch Windows there that give you advice on windows. We have McGee Insulation there as well about insulation for the property. And we have ProAir themselves there as well on the ventilation systems.
All right, good stuff. Look, it's the future. You might as well go in and find out some information. It may not be for you. It could be the best thing you ever did, because I get the impression you could go in there sort of tentatively thinking this is the way I want to go, but how can I do it, and come out going, right, this is what would work for me, that's what I can get via a grant, and this is how I can fund the shortfall if I need to with the credit union. And it's a one-stop shop. So a big open invitation, some delicious light bites with tea and coffee throughout the day. We're broadcasting there as well with John Breslin between 12 and 12.30. Anything else you want to add? I think we've covered everything there.
Look, and if you can't make it the day, the showroom's always open from Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. So call in anytime.
All right, Jonathan, thanks very much. That's Jonathan Doherty of Efficient Renewables and Eco Forest Ireland. Right, our next guests are in studio with us, Carol McCann. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, Greg.
Thanks so much for joining me. And we also have Darren Collins, who's Secretary for Sean McCools. Good morning to you. Now, Sean McCools is hosting a mental health awareness event called Heads Up, and it's on this Friday, September 27th in Jackson's Hotel at 8 p.m. Now, tell us more about this, Carol, this initiative. Why did you decide to run it? And we'll talk more about what's happening on the night.
Well, I suppose as a club, we wanted to do something in terms of mental health. So I suppose a few of us put our heads together and we decided that we wanted to host a mental health evening. But we probably wanted to be a wee bit more unique and have people on the stage that people identified with or people could connect with. So we kind of looked at some of the main people in sport that would be available. Made contact with them, and a lot of them came back to us. So I suppose the first one we ran with Shane Carthy. He's an author of Dark Blue, excellent book, really, really recommend it. And one of the things that stood out was that his story is very typical for any young person that's struggling, in the sense that they, you know, he didn't know what was wrong with him, but he knew there was something wrong with him. So he talked a lot about, you know, breaking down to his parents and having thoughts and then going out that evening and being man of the match in an under 21 final. So stuff like that, because when we see that with people, you can see the kind of where they can kind of be in good form and be in bad form. And then,
yeah, and if you're in that position, it's hard to square that circle. It feels like an oxymoron, doesn't it? How can I be in this low place mentally and excel moments later? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So that was what we wanted to do. We wanted to kind of have that collaboration of having a few main speakers and then having professionals there that'll say, look, if you're feeling like that, or if this is what happens to you, or if you know somebody, here's what you can do. It's not about trying to save everybody, but it's about just pointing people in the right direction.
He's joined by Oshie McConville from Armagh, Rona McNamee from Tyrone, Katie Heron, Donegal senior footballer, of course, and under-20s mentor Kevin Mills. The MC for the night, too's our own Brendan Devaney, a former Donegal player as well. So talk to us about what's coming up on the night, Darren.
I suppose, Greg, it is, as Carol touched on, it's real stories. It's people who've gone through these issues. They're public figures. We all know them from the world of sport and, you know, being in the TV and on magazines and stuff. But, you know, people can read articles and they can listen to talks, but when they hear people who they know who've gone through these struggles, it helps identify what they may be going through themselves. You know, I've always said that the mind is the most dangerous weapon, because it controls your thoughts, it controls your moods, and sometimes the smallest little thing can go a long way and, you know, changing things and changing your direction. So I suppose Carol's put an awful lot of work into this on our behalf, as I suppose the largest club in the Twin Towns and a hub in the Twin Towns, we felt it was kind of our responsibility as a community group to put this out there and into the wider diaspora in Donegal.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, your community, like all communities, you know, there's a mix going on. We're seeing, I think, an increase in poor mental health, but also we're seeing more of awareness of it. Now, very tragically, sometimes that can be if someone ends their life, but it also means that maybe people feel they can speak more openly as well on it. So that's all part of it. Carol, who is it for? And who's invited? And I mean, are people still open to attend?
Absolutely. And I suppose initially, if we're honest, we kind of thought maybe young players in terms of females and males. And I remember chatting to an older or a long-time member, maybe, if I'm more PC, in McCool's. And I remember saying to him, this is going to help so many young people. And he said, you know what, this is going to help me too. And I thought that was so powerful. Because, you know what, I thought, everybody's going to take something. If somebody takes, excuse me, if everybody takes one thing from this night. So realistically, I think that everybody can get something of this night. And the other thing is, it's merely been presented through the lens of the GAA, but it's not necessarily for people with anything to do with the GAA. You know, it's for teachers, it's for coaches, it's for players, it's for young people. We were saying that actually, we were chatting coming over, you know, young people maybe from 15, 16 up, you know, that maybe just are going into that that hateful time in life. And I suppose Shane Carthy and maybe Ronan are going to touch on that. That's when things started to go down for Shane. You know, so I think in terms of that, yes, it is a GAA initiative. Yes, we are hosting it through the lens of that. But I think anybody can get something from this, even parents.
Yeah, and I've kind of focused on you know, poor mental health, but also too, and you do see high instance of it in particularly in sport is addiction. It could be to gambling or alcohol, and just like the mental health, you could have someone that, you know, would drink quite heavily or maybe, you know, takes other drugs, but can also still function at the highest level.
Yeah.
Eventually it catches up with you, right? We know that. But it's not just about poor mental health. It's about the pitfalls that can come from, you know, addiction.
Yeah, and I think that's the other good thing to hear is that we have the likes of Eugene Duffy, who's a SCAN nurse. I know he was texting you a few weeks ago. I think he hounded you a wee bit, Greg, did he? About the mental health night.
I don't call it hounding.
I had to get that, and I was chatting him coming up the road. But, you know, Eugene's a suicide crisis assessment nurse, and he's going to talk after the speakers, and he's going to talk about, you know, how you know that, you know, that when you're struggling and stuff like that. Because I think one of the biggest things is a lot of people don't realise when they are struggling or if they're struggling or what's happening to them. You know, I think a lot of people, and I'm always going back to Shane Carthy because I was really, really taken by his book, but he didn't know what was wrong with him. And I think life is going at such an uncanny pace. Like, yeah. There's some days we literally don't have time.
But you see, as well as that too, with poor mental health, our brain can work against us as well. And our brain's the most powerful thing there is. And we also have a very little understanding of it. And our brain can think it's protecting us. So if, say, for instance, in terms of an addiction, for instance, or poor mental health, your brain can almost tell you not to seek help or not to seek out help because it thinks it's protecting you from something, right? It's the most basic way of putting it, but that's what's happening. And it's often, too, when people overcome that and say, right, brain, I'm going to go and have a chat to someone, or I think there might be a problem, I recognise the problem. And what's going to be demonstrated on the stage, and it's not an all-roses situation, you don't have poor mental health, get better, and then never, you know, some people do, but the bottom line is, and I'm sure we'll hear from the guests, it's ongoing. You live with it. You learn to deal with it. It's part of it. There's no, there is, of course, a very happy ending, and people can get better, right? But sometimes there's an unrealistic path that's that is portrayed, and then people think that's not achievable for them. But what you're going to hear on Friday is from real people, just like you, but also that have excelled in their chosen sports or what have you. And it's their real stories, Darren. And it's about getting someone to recognise in them what they hear from the guests, and then to go on that quite easy path for a lot of people to feel better.
I mean, if only one person gets the chance to realise that, wait one second, I need to get help from this night, then it's worth it. You know, the organisation and Carol will agree. If only one person who's listening to the radio now who wants to turn up or thinks I'm struggling, you know, asking for help is not a sign of weakness. Ask for help is a sign of strength, because you've realised in yourself something's not right and I need to do something about it. Mm-hmm. It no longer is a stigma to have mental health issues. We all have them. Some people want to talk about them, some don't. We all know people who have issues with alcohol. We all know people who have issues with maybe drugs, other addictions, gambling, etc. You know, so if it helps one person, then it's all worth it.
And it's normalising at times, Carol, that people are going to have poor mental health. You know, Brendan Devaney spoke about that himself, that the struggles and things that they've been through. I've spoken about my ongoing, it's more controlled at the moment, but completely debilitating chronic anxiety. You know what I mean? There's no shame in talking about it. And do you know what? If someone judges you on it, they're probably not great people to have around you in any case. Everybody has little moments. How we identify it or whatever can be different for different people. But the truth is there's no shame in it. You just get the appropriate help and move forward.
And I think by having more nights like this, because we've great people in the GAA in different circles, and I think by having more nights like this, you're going to break that stigma, and it's going to encourage people to talk, because they've all said that by talking about their story has helped them. So I think, you know, that's what we should be using people like this in our communities, just to set out that, to encourage people to talk, because then we can point them in the right direction.
Yeah, and as I say, it's ticket-only event. Tickets available through Eventbrite. We'll link it on our socials, but I'll get the guys here here to get the guys here to emphasise this. But I think what Carol has been very good at emphasising as well is this is driven by the GEA, GEA of the community, but it's for all of the community, even those not involved with the GEA club. And I think, you know, it's maybe an opportunity to invite a young person in your house. So say there is a young person in your house and maybe you've seen their behaviour change a little bit, or you're trying to figure out a way to trigger a wider conversation.
Yes.
You don't have to announce what it's about. Yeah. Just go along you know, that might be the person, as you referenced, Darren, that might be the person, Carol, that is reached through this process.
Correct.
100%. And I think the other thing is we do have a bit of information there that we'll give to everybody as well. It's just a kind of an emergency mental health sheets so that they can take home with them, because they might need it now, but a family member could need it before the end of the year.
Yeah,
so that's what.
OK. And also to a lot of former footballers or people involved in sport will understand that once you retire, you know, other challenges the loss of that. That camaraderie, people have to find it elsewhere. People can turn to drink or gambling or whatever it might be. So maybe there's former players as well that might benefit from this. And also to, how did you compile the list then? So obviously, you know, it's great to have Shane Carthy on, a well-known author as well as being an excellent sports person, Oisín McConville, Ronan McNamee, and then Katie and Kevin, what role are they going to play on the night?
They are going to play. Well, I suppose we contacted many people and they came back. A lot of people came back. We kind of worked it around the three main speakers. Kevin is going to talk about, like, he does the Safe Talk training, which is a suicide awareness training. I got him over to McCool's in July. It's brilliant training. I would advise anybody to get it. He really holds your attention and he's so skilled. Like, Kevin's got a lot of experience with mental health and addiction professionally. So that he's going to talk about that, but he's also going to talk about, you know, challenges for coaches. And like, that could be coaches, but it could also be a teacher. You know what I mean? So again, it's presented through the GA, but it's for other walks of life. And maybe make it a more generic way of helping and looking out for things. Katie Hearn's going to talk about, I spoke to her last night, lovely girl, and she's a good stalwart for females in Donegal. She wants to talk about maybe the struggle she's had with pressures of being the captain and things she's overcame in her life and going to Australia and getting the balance right.
Yeah, because often too, and it's good to get a woman's voice in there.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
Because often as we try and catch up on the whole mental health thing, we can, and understandably, focus a lot on men. But obviously women face all of these.
Absolutely.
All these challenges as well. But there is a particular issue with guys, so it's no harm in a particular focus there. And also, you know, like, there's never the wrong time to sort of say, right, you know, what they're talking about on the radio, that's how I feel. People sometimes live with anxiety or live with stress or poor mental health, and they just put it down to the way they are, which is not healthy, and it's not a way to live your life as well. And there's some fantastic supports out there. Either go and chat to your GP, dependent on where you are at in your journey, or contact one of the helplines. There's no shame in that, and it can be, and I've spoken to thousands of people, I would say, at this stage, where it was the beginning of an improved life and more contentment and happiness and just life being easier rather than carrying a dark passenger around with you all the time when there's no need to most of the time. So how do people go about getting a ticket through Eventbrite? But what does that mean? What do I search for?
Well, I suppose you can go into any of the social media pages like McCool's. I know the Donegal have shared it. Realistically, you can pay on the night. We're encouraging people to go through Eventbrite because we want everybody to have a seat. We want it to be nice and relaxed. There's tea and coffee available. So I suppose we are encouraging people, but I mean, look, nobody's going to be turned away. But we want to know a rough idea. So Eventbrite, really, through the social media, or if you contact anybody from the McCool's, we'll send out the link.
Okay. And we'll link it on our socials as well, on the Highland Hub page, so that you can, it'll link you through to it. It is on Friday night. It's at 8 p.m. There's a fantastic lineup of guests. And this is a story of reality, but recovery and hope as well.
Absolutely.
This is as all good things are, we can talk about serious things, Darren, and you hope it lands.
Yeah.
But it's also done in a way that's entertaining. And
there's always tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, today may be dark and gloomy, but there's always tomorrow. And these guys here will be able to show you that tomorrow did come for them.
And Brendan Devaney, as I say, is going to be the MC, so he's going to keep things moving along nicely as well, as you can imagine. Right, Carol, what's your role within the club? Sorry, I don't have it written in front of me.
Health and Wellbeing Officer.
Health and Wellbeing Officer, yeah. That's good. I just wanted to make sure. Oh, it is written in front of me. I see
keeps
that
the rest
now.
Of us in line. Greg.
Exactly.
Well, no, it's a big job. But I mean, I think the main thing too, you mentioned Brendan Devaney, and I would be an avid listener to the GA Social with Oisín McConville and Thomas Nublock, and Brendan's interview on that was just amazing. So he really ties this together very well, because we all know that poor Brendan went through a tough time, and you know, with bereavement, not going on that, but even having Brendan on the stage is going to create a lot of hope to people.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know? Of course it is. Darren Collins, Secretary of Sean McCools, thanks. Good to have you in studio. And Carol McCann, Health and Wellbeing Officer with Sean McCools Club. So it's going to be a very informative, entertaining evening. Doors open at 7:15 this Friday. Kickoff throw-in is at 8 p.m. I corrected myself immediately. Relax yourself.
Throw-in.
I corrected myself immediately. It's at Glenfin Street in Bala Buffet. Go to Eventbrite. We will link all that. It's linked all over the socials of McCools as well. But as Carol quite rightly pointed out, no one's going to be turned away in the evening. They just want to make sure everyone has a seat. Anything either of the two you want to add just before we...
Well, I suppose the only thing I'd say is that Heads Up is a very apt name of this night, because it's about giving people a heads up of the available, of what can happen and what services are available. But also, keep your head up, not about pretending that things are okay, but even if you don't believe in yourself, we do.
Yeah, and I also too, it can feel very lonely. I don't want people to feel lonely, especially if someone's listening to this now. Don't feel lonely. Contact us, but there's other numbers we can put you in contact with. It's not something that you have to deal with on your own.
Absolutely.
Because it can be incredibly isolating and lonely. And that's, again, your brain playing tricks on you, trying to make sure, trying to make you think it's protecting you when it's not sometimes. All right, Darren, Carol, Gurmahigut,
thank you very much, Greg.
Throw in at 8. Okay, loads of you texting in. Thank you very much for that. I'll be getting to those as we move towards, midday. John's with me now. Hi, John, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good, John. Great to chat to you. We were chatting during Community Guard information, I suppose, about some erratic, irresponsible behaviour on our roads. And it was interesting to hear Garda Maguire sort of reference the fact that people are sort of doing it without fear of being caught, yet they are being caught. What have you observed, or what do you want to talk about, John?
Greg, I was coming last night between Rathmullen and a wee village called Kirrikeel there down by Farnet. Mm-hmm. And between the two, there's a wee chapel called Ochterlin. And this wee chapel's out in the middle of nowhere, and it's a very scenic, beautiful wee spot. And as I was coming in, there was a car, a creamy car, a Lexus. And I mean, it was flat out in front of the door of the chapel, doing donuts. And I couldn't believe what I was witnessing, you know. And there was another vehicle, another Jeep parked up, admiring this, or watching on, if you like. And the closer I got, they obviously thought I was the guard. Mm. And this is where you have an issue. Because now you have a Lexus full of five people and another vehicle full of people. And I mean, you'd have seen the way they left that chapel road. The donuts were bad. But if you'd have seen the way they left that road to head on that road last night, thinking obviously I was guards, which I wasn't. Mm. And I mean, Greg, they could meet some old creditor coming from Bingo. Some old creditor coming from visiting somebody, some nurse coming home from her work, somebody on a night shift come home, and this is what's going to happen. And the thing is about it, Greg, there's managements and there's ways of doing things and policing this. I spoke to the barracks, I reported it, because I think it's something that people, this is where I'm going to try and get to my point. I think as public, we could be doing more. We need to be reporting. If you see it and you have a passenger on board that you can get them to video it and get registrations, report it. If you have a dash cam, report it. And most importantly, if you're a parent, you can report it. If you have a child and you're not comfortable, and them whether they're over 18 or whatever age they are, if they're living under your roof, you can only advise them as a parent. And if you feel that they're going out and going into a car, whether they're a passenger or whatever they are, to do donuts in the road, you can advise them not to. If they'll go against your will and say, no, mommy, I'm going out, I'm over 18, you can't, you know, report it.
Kick them out.
Because at the end of the day, as a parent, I would rather be reporting my son for getting into a vehicle and hanging about with the wrong crowd that's out doing donuts in the road, than me getting a knock on the door from two guards to say my son's been killed.
Yeah, we don't seem to connect the two, which is a problem until it's too late. And John, you know, that car's going to land home stinking of rubber. You know what I mean? It's going to be obvious what we're doing.
Listen, Greg, these parents, I'm sorry, if you're buying an Alexa and the car's back wheel drive, you're buying it for one purpose and one purpose only.
I'm going to disagree with you on that, because I know a few Lexus owners, and the tires are so expensive, you wouldn't see them at it, John. And I'm not being argumentative.
I'm talking about there's a few boys in that they come in. They're honest to God. I meet them regularly. They're sound lads. Mm. Their wee cars are done up to the health side. These boys are going. They'll sit in a car park. Their cars are spectacular. I mean, they probably cost more than my new car because of the money they've spent. Them boys are not. They're not out doing donuts on the road. They're not out causing any harm, or they're not going to end up trying to get a chase away from thinking they're getting away from garage or kill anybody else. Them boys are only sitting there admiring their cars, and at the end of the day, fair play to them if that's what they're into. Mm. But these crowd going around and round and round in a circle in a road,
the same happened outside. It's not too far away from where you're talking, really, outside the chapel in Carrigart, outside the graveyard as well,
that's
where people's final resting place. The road in an absolute state.
Absolutely, but Greg, even our most beautiful landmarks, like viewpoints, anywhere where there's a beautiful viewpoint where people are pulling in with tour buses, all you see is donuts on the road. I don't understand what's happened to the generation that's grown up today. They're clearly not going to church or going to mass or have any beliefs and faith, that they have no respect for a graveyard or a chapel, that they think that this is okay to do outside the door. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I was brought up, Greg, and my God, you pass a chapel, you bless yourself. Do you know what I mean? You pass a graveyard, you bless yourself. You don't lift a handbrake and go round and round a circle. What are we breeding nowadays? What kind of an animal thinks that this is normal?
It's a minority. We're talking about a minority.
I know, 100%. I'm not for it. 100%.
There's enough of them whereby it is problematic. And in fairness to the guards, they seem to have made progresses in the Milford and Buncrana, was it the other area?
Greg, I suggested to the guard last night, and yes, there's a lot of tape, and I said to him, I said, listen, I'm telling you, you don't understand how much this would work, as much as it sounds harsh and as much as it sounds terrible. But for the boys in Letterkenny, because they're getting tarnished, the boys that are just sitting where their cars are all done up, they're getting tarnished the same way as me and you're getting tarnished with high insurance, high road tax because of these situations.
Yeah, that's true.
At the end of the day, Greg, if these cars are caught, Greg, I'm sorry, take them and crush them. They have to be, and video it and post it on social media. Crush the cars. Mm. These people are, and take the license off them for up to 10 years. By then, hopefully, they'll grown up of going round and round in a circle.
See, my concern too is that the cat and mouse element to this is in that it seems part of the crack is, and they thought you were a guard as you approached, John, part of the crack is the chase then as well. You know, pile them into the car and tear off. And you outlined the dangers of that, obviously.
Oh, Greg, it's so sad, Greg. Listen, I'm saying to parents, this is where my plea is, and this is where I am on the radio to you. I'm pleading to parents, what would you rather? Would you rather say to your Wayne, and if he's not listening, tell him you're reporting it to the guards, or would you rather get a knock from two guards to say, listen, I'm really sorry, but your son's, you have to come up and identify your son or your daughter. Mm. Listen, you need to help out here as parents and as public, report, and save the young generation. Let them know how silly it is and how stupid it is, for it's not worth it. You're going to kill some other creator, and you're going to kill maybe five other or four other passengers sitting on with you that you don't need to. It's silly. There is organised events in Letterkenny. There's organised places that you can go to for these events, and you can do that in fair play to these people for putting these things on. Yeah. There is places for doing it, not on our public roads. Yeah. For when you think you're getting a chase, you're going to kill some innocent creator.
Yeah, I think there has to be the work within the peer group as well, because I would know. People who have just become newly qualified as drivers or have just got their first car, there's a lot of pressure within their peer group to load the car up and come on, we'll go for a spin and stuff.
Obviously
there's little, you know, there's bumps and scratches that happen, and then there's more serious stuff that happens. But we also need to put the emphasis on the passengers as well and say, look at, you know, don't.
Passengers can take their own, you know, they can take their own thing as well and say, listen, I don't like that. Can you let me out? I don't want to be in this car. This is too dangerous. Mm. You know, you can speak up for yourself. Don't think you're being a pussy or you're being weak for asking for that. You know, you're saving your own life, and not only that, you could be saving his life by telling him to stop or telling him to slow down. Okay. At the end of the day, which would you rather, as a friend or as a brother, or say, would you rather be killed, or would you rather say, go and slow down, because this is ridiculous, you're going too hard.
Sorry, John. Listen, thanks. I hear the passion in your voice. I know what you're saying, that we need to also be the eyes and ears as well. And it's not about 100%. It's not about reporting people to get them in bother and being a curtain twitcher or a grass
or a snitch. Saving their lives.
It's literally
you're saving
actually
their
trying
lives.
To you, save lives here. Yeah, I get you.
You're saving lives, and more importantly, you're saving that horrible, horrible knock that too many people in our county and our country are getting every day.
Okay.
You're saving that knock to the door. Thanks
right,
very much.
John, take care of yourself. A caller says, I totally agree with John. The Churchill area is the same. The roads are covered in tyre marks. At the moment, I want to be home by 7 or 8 o'clock so I don't run into any of them.
Okay.
Some comments and some other issues too ahead of the quarter two break. Very often when young people are constantly being overlooked and not picked for a place on a team, and often younger age groups getting preference can often be detrimental to one's mental health and self-worth. If this is to be addressed, and also foul language when someone makes a mistake on the pitch. Yeah, that's part of it. Some of it's the rough and tumble of sport, you know, and others it's different. But I do understand, and we're not in any way contradicting you. And most clubs now have a well-being officer. Maybe it's no harm raising it with them too. Taoiseach Simon Harris signed off on the National Children's Hospital main phase. We see what a financial disaster alone it's becoming, yet we see opinion polls giving him a very high rating. Are they polled asleep? Thankfully, it's just opinion polls and not the real polls. I think the real polls will reflect what's in these opinion polls, by the way. But that hospital is $1.6 billion over budget. $1.6 billion. So a million. So just to remind ourselves what $1.6 billion is. So a billion is a million million. So €1 million wasted and overspent a million times, plus 600,000 times as well. So that's how much 1.6 billion is. Can you imagine the work that would do? A million million and then another 600,000 million. That's what the overrun is at the moment, and it's still not open. And they actually have concerns, a PwC report, they have actually concerns as to whether or not management will be able to run the hospital efficiently. Can you please ask what is the regulations on horse poo? An equestrian school using a public road and leaving a terrible mess behind and never cleaning it up. Interesting question. Let's look into that. A caller says, I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's the people who should be licensed, not the dogs. Some people don't know the first thing about dogs or how to train them, but they still have the dogs. On road safety, we need the Garda, Motor Club and RSA all together sorting a site location and giving them the skills to get it out of the system. We've all been there, young, testosterone-fueled and nowhere to show off. So that would be like an official diffing point or something along those lines. I read that one out already. Very well done to all involved in the Highland Radio Hooli. Very well organised. Couldn't have asked for better. The staff and all organisers were great. The biggest shout out goes to the Donegal people who were on the trip. Such a nice, friendly bunch. We hope to go again next year. That's from Patsy Lee in Athboy, County Meath. Good to have you on board from County Meath. Yeah, lots of people who were on that said it was a huge success, and it's going again next year. Greg, it is the responsibility of the NCT Centre to provide a service. They need to hire more manpower. The current waiting list is 8 weeks, regardless if your car is due or not. That's not the individual driver's problem, it's their problem. But I suppose it's booking your NCT maybe 8 weeks in advance before it runs out. But I get where you're coming from. Just wait till after 12 and call the hotline too. You can often get an appointment quicker. Hi, Greg. I was in Killylaston petrol station where young teenagers threw fireworks at the car last week. I contacted the Gardaí. They failed to come up when I called them. A waste of time calling them. Wow. Can you imagine? Fireworks, car, petrol station. That could have been an absolute disaster. What was going through those young people's minds there? Right. I'm going to take a very short break. Stay with us. We'll be back with more. We're going to be talking actually about dental services in the Fulcara area after this. Grania is with me now. Hi, Grania.
Good morning, Greg.
Now, you're going to help me highlight the issue of access to a school dentist. This particularly in the Fulcara area?
Yeah, Greg. So I'll kind of start back at the beginning. Back in August, it was through word of mouth, really, that I heard the school dentist over here had left.
Mm-hmm.
So my own child kind of was waiting on an appointment for a filling. Queried it, rang around to see what was going on, and the reply that I got was that yes, indeed, the dentist had left. There was no replacement dentist, but I should really hold off a week or two. They said they may cover emergency appointments. So that was grand while waiting for the week or two, she developed severe toothache. Didn't know where to go with her, rang around again and was advised to ring the school dentist in Dunloe, which I did do. And in fairness to them, now they saw her. She needed an antibiotic for an infection. Cut a long story short, that part was sorted for her, but she still required this filling. Now, the dentist in Dunloe that day did tell us that she could be waiting up to 2 years to get that appointment for her filling. So, you know yourself, two years and a tooth, filling.
Tooth's not going to wait that long. I mean, that's an extraction if she doesn't get it filled.
Exactly, and it's going to be that rotten in 2 years' time that it wouldn't be worth filling. But anyway, Greg, they did say I could take this private to a different dentist if I wanted to pay for it off my own bat, which I would probably have to do. But the issue then is that dentists aren't taking on any new clients. Their books are all full. So my point really here, Greg, is that, like, at the end of the day, I'm only one parent with one child needing one filling, right? But the dentist in the Fulcara area covered a huge catchment area. They were from Fulcara to Dunloe. So you have an awful lot of primary schools, a larger number of children, and you can imagine the amount of teeth that aren't getting seen to. So,
what about checkups? What about checkups, Grania? Because obviously, you know, regular checkups would be important too, to hopefully, you know, see anything in advance. Does she have access to checkups?
Generally, with the school dental scheme, they should have a checkup in their junior, say, first class to third class, and then there is supposed to be another checkup before they leave in sixth class. Now, the problem, I suppose, going forward, and if it is put to the HSE, their reply will probably be one of their famous generic replies that recruitment process is in place or it's finalised. Even, Greg, when that is to happen, and there is a dentist got, whenever that will be, the issue then with the backlog of children, that dentist is going to have to concentrate on fifth, sixth class children before they leave the primary school level, because that scheme stops once they're in secondary school, which leaves the younger children not getting seen.
Well, the easiest way is when we're making our inquiries then, we'll find out what the future plan is, but also how waiting lists will be dealt with. Because, you know, if a school dentist is appointed, what does that mean for your nine-year-old? And as you say, firstly, not everyone can go private, but secondly, it's very hard to get into a private dentist because, as you quite rightly pointed out, they're overstretched and not too keen on certain types of work either. You know, they want the public stuff that helps keep the roof over their head. How long then, has the dentist servicing the emergency service, you say, is there, you've availed of that, but how long has the school dentist been absent? You mentioned last August, did you?
I was made aware of it in August, Greg, but I'm not 100% sure of she actually left, which is fine, up to her, good luck to her. She's entitled to that, but we're left with no school dentist.
What we're supposed to do is someone gives notice of the departure, which is normal in the public service, and then they say, right, okay, so you've got a month's notice and we're going to have a replacement in a month. But it doesn't seem to be like that. We seem to wait till they've gone.
It never is,
And then leave this gap. And therefore, a gap builds up. All right, Grania, listen, I've enough to work on there. We'll make our inquiries to the HSE. I'm getting a little bit clever now because we go back after the generic one with further questions, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to try that, Grania, and we'll see what we can come up with. All right.
Fantastic.
Take care of yourself. Bye bye. See you, Grania. Right, we'll finish up with some of your comments, I think. If the guards don't stop small things, they evolve into bigger things, believe this listener. I passed cars, 242 Reg, men in their 50s driving with the wrong number plates. As far as I'm aware, number plates front and back must be white and have the European flag. We must clamp down on these things too. I know what you're saying, but that's not life and death. I get you, though. You're probably right. Redcastle Parish Church Graveyard car park is continuously used for doing donuts. It's a disgrace. So we've got donuts happening outside the church in Carrigart. Was it Ochterlin? Where the donuts happen outside that church. And now we've got Redcastle Parish Church. So there must be more out there. That's three parish church graveyards. And churches where people are donutting outside of. What's going on? Why? That seems a bit crazy. Greg, that noise every night with those rascals, I blame their parents for giving them money for gas or petrol. Are they scared of them? Guardy, stop them, please. Why should young teenagers get away with it? And why should a group of young teenagers potentially tarnish the reputation of all the other teenagers as well? Hi, Greg. Why does Letterkenny Garda Station have to get permission from Galway Garda Station to release a Garda car after reporting reckless driving? I reported a reckless driver drifting around the Kiltoy roundabout, but 10 minutes later had to take a call from Galway. By then, the car had would have been miles away. Well, ideally, you ring Galway directly, you see. That's just the way it is now. It's a centralised call centre, and you ring Galway and they determine then if it's an actionable call, and they actually dispatch the Gardaí to that area. Presumably, you got through to someone on a desk in Letterkenny and they effectively had to make your call to Galway. A caller says, is that really correct about the NCT? It's near impossible to get an NCT test in time, often a couple of months delay. Are they saying cars not insured if the NCT is out of date, even if I have an appointment? I'll tell you, we've had a lot on this. Let me double check that, because obviously it's about interpretation as well, and information that had been put out in the past, and then the rules of the road, the rules of law. So listen, there's one thing whether you can get away with it. It's another thing, what is the situation if, God forbid, you have a crash? But listen, we'll talk about that. We'll get some more information on that. Are you allowed to tow? Don't think so. How would you be insured to tow an uninsured car? Well, the insurance on the car that's towing, presuming the license was suitable, that I can't see how that would be illegal. A caller says, I sent an email to Insurance Ireland as my son's car insurance was high. The insurance is now 640. He was quoted 987 in the beginning. It shows you should shop around. Big saving there. Please shop around. I couldn't promote that enough. Hiya, Greg. I'm in urgent need to see a neurologist, but told there's a 3 to 5 year waiting list. Can anyone help me, please? My local GP has tried and tried, but unfortunately I'm on a long waiting list. I took ill at Christmas. I was allergic to steroids. If anyone has any advice there. I have a concern about, this is separate to that text, about a lot of consultants leaving the public system are going private. I think we're going to see much more of that in the coming years, and it's going to cause issues if it's not causing issues already. There is a reason staff are going abroad, private and agency. Hi, Greg. Assigning the town park in Letterkenny. Service dogs only. Been there a few times the past month. Lots of dogs. They don't look like service dogs. I haven't seen that sign, but you know. I'm a walker in Drumbo Woods. Every morning I meet a man every day, his dog barking and growling when it meets you. No lead. He says the dog won't bite you. That's all right if you're not afraid of dogs. The dog should be on lead at all times, no matter what. Yeah, indeed. This person also goes down to identify the man, which we can't obviously reveal. But listen, if the man is listening, I know you love your dog. I know you think he's playful and he's having a little growl and a little bark because he's fun. But if you're on the receiving end of that, potentially it's not fun. And maybe you should stick him on a lead. The man is 100% right. The roads at the weekend, this is John. The man is 100% right. The roads at the weekend around Carrigans and St. Johnson are not safe to drive on late at night because the road is taken over by these crazy drivers and not a guard in sight. This is something really, I think what's happened here is, lots of people in different areas have their concerns about this type of driving on our roads. And this conversation has sparked almost like a map of careless driving and donut driving and what have you. So it might be something that we return to. If it's something you want to have a say on, WhatsApp and text 086 60 25000. Okay, that's where we have to leave it for Tuesday's 9 till noon show. Thank you very much for all of you who listened to the show, took part in the show, watched the show, however you engaged. It's very much appreciated. And we're going to be back to do it all again tomorrow morning from 9, if God spares us.